I just want to praise God for my wife. 23 years of marriage today. She's a blessing and a partner and a helpmate, just like the Bible says. She's been by my side the whole time, and I wouldn't really live this life without her, so I don't think I could. But anyway, praise God for you, my wife, my gift. She was a gift. I remember that. God told me very clearly to marry her. And that was the theme of our wedding, that God had given us to each other. That he is a God who brings people together. And when we put him first in our marriage, it's an incredible thing. So anyway, listen, we're going to go through the book of Haggai together, but it ain't going to be me. Wendy is going to come and preach the book of Haggai. It's dear to her heart. She's been studying it since a long time. And so I have relinquished that preaching to her. So open your Bibles to the book of Haggai and let me pray while you do that. We thank you, Lord, for everyone here under the sound of your word, able to sing praises to you. Lord, we thank you for the body of Christ where we can share our hearts and our needs. We lift up Marcus and his friends, Lord, and we say, continue to draw them to yourself, Lord. Deliver them from any trauma, any fear, any anxiety in Jesus' name. We just bind all those spirits that are trying to get in, and we just declare freedom over them. May they realize that they have been chosen and set apart for a reason, saved from this accident, given an opportunity of life eternal with Christ. Holy Spirit, arrest their hearts and draw them to yourself, to your Son, Jesus, I pray. Thank you, Lord. We lift up this family who just lost this boy. Yes. Father, we ask, as you are the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our time of need, that you would really show up in their lives and just bring the peace and the joy they need through this trial. Yes. Lord, I pray against any anger or bitterness that might come in, Lord. We know you are the author of life, and you are the one who decides when it's over. And so, God, minister to that family according to their needs. Lord, we think of the homeless in this city, in Kitchener, and everywhere. It just seems to be increasing all over the world, and we don't even know what to do with them all, Lord. But you have called us to be light in darkness. And we do pray that they would find you and be delivered from their addictions and their mental illness, Lord. You are the one who sets free from everything. And I pray, Lord, that as Christians are drawn to minister to them, that it is indeed not only for physical needs, but for spiritual needs as well. May the gospel be preached. May each one have the opportunity to accept Christ and be delivered from that lifestyle. Thank you, Lord, that you have the ability to provide for each one if they turn to you. You promise to provide. You actually even say in your word, you let it rain on the just and the wicked. So, Lord, supply their needs. Yes. Open the ears and the eyes of the government, and may they minister accordingly. Yes. Yes. Speak to each one of these homeless people, Lord. Find the spirit of despair and depression that wants to sit in. Yes. And Lord, take away that drug dependency, that alcohol dependency. May they learn to be dependent on you for your glory. And Lord, anoint Wendy as she comes and brings the word. Open our hearts and ears to hear what you want us to hear today. Lord, it's always about you and not about us. And may we be reminded of the gospel of the kingdom, that we are building your house, not our own, for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Wendy, God bless you.
This book is really dear to my heart because the Lord has a lot to say to the Church of Jesus Christ. And the Church of Jesus Christ is on his heart. And the Church is on my heart, and it should be on all of our hearts. Right? Because we are the Church of Jesus Christ. I love listening to these testimonies because it's just so encouraging. Because they're testimonies of the Church being the Church.
Yeah.
Right? That is awesome. So I want to start and just share with you that the title of this sermon is, I Am With You, says the Lord. Now, I want to pray that that will really go right into your heart and you will receive that. I am with you, says the Lord. Right? Now, Haggai means actually festive or festival. It sort of gives the impression of festive, joyous occasions of celebration. And that's my prayer, is that as this message from the Lord is released today, that it will bring a joy to your heart. And that as a church, that we can celebrate these things that God is doing and these things that God is saying. And it was really interesting. Ben, I just want to encourage you. So, of course, this is on my heart, right? But when I came in and you came and you started playing the piano, there was a real joy attached to your playing, right? And this is, really encouraging when there's a joy and a rejoicing attached to the things that we do for the Lord. Because this is a message of encouragement, and this is a message of hope today. Okay? And so as Mike prayed, I also pray that you will hear this message, that you will listen, not just with your physical ears, but you will listen to this message with your heart, and that you will be able to receive it. So there's two things you need to know before we get into the details of the book, just very quickly. Before Haggai was called as a prophet to the Jewish people, the Jews had been in captivity in Babylon for over 60 years. Okay, and at that time, it was Cyrus, king of Persia, who reigned over Babylon. And so this is very important. And you can, when you read the book of Haggai on your own, okay, read it with the book of Ezra and also the book of Zephaniah, because Zephaniah was also a prophet who was actually called to do the same thing, and they ministered to the people in Jerusalem together, actually. So you don't have to go to it, but I just want to read from Ezra 1:2-4, because God actually, and again, this is all about God. God stirred up the heart of King Cyrus. God did it, okay? And he stirred up his heart, and he made a proclamation. And I'm just going to read what the proclamation was. Thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth the Lord God of heaven has given me, and he has commanded me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who among you of all his people, may his God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is God, which is in Jerusalem. Okay? So God stirs up the heart of King Cyrus, okay, who is reigning over Babylon. The Jews have been in captivity, and he makes this proclamation. And 50,000 Jewish captives respond to this call, okay? And they return back to their homeland. They return back to Jerusalem under the leadership of Zerubbabel, who became the governor, okay, and Joshua, who was a priest. They were the first group of exiles to return to Jerusalem after being in captivity. So when they returned to Jerusalem, they started to rebuild the temple. Okay? And what they did, they started really well, right? They built an altar, they offered sacrifices on the altar, they laid the foundation for the house of the Lord. But then there was opposition. Opposition came. Opposition came from the neighbors, the Samaritans. All right? And because of this, because of the opposition, the people who had started rebuilding the temple, the Jewish people, they became discouraged. They became discouraged, and the Samaritans, they it says in the word, you can read about it in Ezra 4:4-5, but it says that they discouraged them, It says that they troubled them. It even says that they hired counselors against them to frustrate their purposes. Okay, maybe some of you can relate to that. Right? And so as a result, they became discouraged. But they became disinterested. They became disinterested in continuing to rebuild the temple. And they became discouraged, and they became dissatisfied, and they became preoccupied with other pursuits. Okay, and the rebuilding of the temple stopped for 12 years. Okay. And then, during the second year of the reign of another king, King Darius, Haggai, with Zechariah, was called to awaken the returned Jews to complete the task of reconstructing the temple. So Haggai, he's called a post-exilic prophet. Okay, so he came and was called post-exile. And actually his ministry was only 4 months long. Okay. And so him, along with Zechariah, they actually caused the people to complete the building of the temple in 5 years. So 4 years of ministry, wow.
4 months. Yeah.
4 months of ministry. And the task was completed in 5 years. You know, get that? Okay, anyways, that's amazing. All right, so the second thing you really need to know, I want you to listen to this. I want you to really get this. And you have to get this in order to really hear and get what God is saying to the church through this book. Okay? I want you to really understand the New Testament perspective of the temple. Okay? The church, we, followers of Jesus, we are the temple. Okay? We, the church of Jesus Christ, are the temple of the Holy Spirit. It says that in the Word. It talks about, it gives the Word, we're the individually, okay, the local church, okay, and the church universal are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So God, he wants to display his glory through his people, the church. That's us. Okay? So he's asking us to build a place for his glory to dwell. He's asking us to build a place for his glory to dwell. This is very important. So in Haggai's day, if you just read this book, like just a book, okay, and you just take it, you know, completely literally, right? The building was a physical one, okay? But you need to understand, okay, in this book, in the prophetic, okay, that Haggai is a prophet, so he's prophetically speaking, okay, about the church and God building the church and his glory dwelling within the church. Okay. And, you know, it just makes me think of, you know, scriptures, like you can look these up again in Ephesians 4, when it talks about the leadership gifts that have been given to the church. Okay. It talks about equipping the church. Okay. And it says that we all do our part. Okay. Which means this message is not just for leaders. Okay, this message is for every single one of you, and I mean all the younger saints, like Ben and David and Eva and Phoebe. I don't want to miss anybody. And Bella and Mia, thank you. You're hiding. So this message is for every single one of us, and that's really important. You know, and also the other thing that God put on my heart is in Ephesians 5, where it says that Christ loves the church. It's talking to husbands. It says, love your wife as Christ loved the church. And really, in order to receive this and be able to act on these words, we need to remember that God has put his love in our hearts by his Holy Spirit, whom he has given to us. Okay, and really to search your heart and ask God for more love for the Church of Jesus Christ. Okay, because when we love the Church of Jesus Christ, as Christ loves the church, then we will be willing to do these things. We'll be willing to lay down our lives for the church, right? Because, you know, it talks in there in that scripture in Ephesians 5 about nourishing and cherishing and desiring the church of Jesus Christ, the body of Christ, to be holy, right? Okay? So remember, like in Acts 7:48 says, however, the Most High does not dwell in temples made with human hands. Okay? So this word in this book, okay, is to us, the church. Okay? And it's a now word, but it's also speaking into prophetically into the future, okay? Where it says in Revelation 21:3, and I'm just going to read it, behold, the tabernacle, dwelling place of God, is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. Okay, so this work of building the temple, the church of Jesus Christ, loving the church, equipping the church, using your gifts, everybody involved. Okay, this isn't even just for us now. Okay, this is like we are preparing, we're becoming a prepared bride, right, for God himself to dwell amongst us forever. Okay, do you understand that? It's really important to get this, okay? So now, in the book of Haggai, the Lord delivers three messages, and he addresses three problems, okay? The first message is consider your ways. The second message is be strong and work. And the third message is I will bless you, okay? And he addresses three problems. And the amazing thing about God, who he speaks through his prophets, okay, and his prophets speak the word of God, they don't just call out the problem. Okay, they actually address the problem, but then they tell the people how to overcome the problem. Okay, and this is what Haggai does. He's no different than any other prophet because God is speaking through him, right? So the three problems that he addresses and he gives direction on how to overcome, one is disinterest, two is discouragement, and three is dissatisfaction. Okay? All right, so now we're going to start. Now this message, please, is from the Lord, okay, and it's through Haggai, okay, and it's to Zerubbabel, who is the governor of Judah, and to Joshua the priest, and it's for all the people, like I said. All right? So if you have your Bibles open, and Haggai chapter 1, verse 2, thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, this people says, the time has not come that the Lord's house should be built. Right? This is saying it's not time, right? And so when the Lord says, this people says, it really sets the theme for God's kind of, he's got this dispute against the people, right? Against the people of Jerusalem, right? Who have stopped rebuilding the temple. They've become disinterested. Right? They've become disinterested in rebuilding God's house. They've become apathetic. They've started to complain. They started to procrastinate. Procrastination has set in, and this is the first problem. All right? Now, I want to ask a question for us. We don't need to answer. You can just think about this question, and maybe the Lord will give you some answers today, or maybe you will be down the road. But this is a question for us. I want to take this very seriously, right? And the question is this happening in the church today? Okay. Have we, because remember, like when Mike held up the bread, he's like, this is a piece of a whole. This is part of the body of Christ. Okay, so you have to, I am part of the whole, right? We are the body of Christ. We are part of the greater body of Christ. Right? So you need to see it from that perspective. Okay? So the question is, have we, or you can ask yourself, you become disinterested in doing our or your part in equipping the Church of Jesus Christ? And I just want to remind you that that word equipping means making fit, preparing, training, perfecting, making fully qualified for service. And we all have a part in that, all of us, okay, not just for the leaders. So now I'm going to read verses 3 to 11, okay, and then I'm just going to make a few comments for you about it, okay? Chapter 1, verses 3 to 11, but I'm going to actually read it in the Message version, but you can follow along in your version. How is it that it's the right time for you to live in your fine new homes while the home, God's temple, is in ruins? And then a little later, God of angel armies spoke out again. Take a good, hard look at your life. Think it over. You have spent a lot of money, but you haven't much to show for it. You keep filling your plates, but you never get filled up. You keep drinking and drinking and drinking, but you're always thirsty. You put on layer after layer of clothes, but you can't get warm. And the people who work for you, what are they getting out of it? Not much. A leaky, rusted out bucket, that's what. That's why God of the angel armies said, take a good, hard look at your life. Think it over. Then God said, here's what I want you to do. Climb into the hills and cut some timber, bring it down and build the temple. Do it just for me. Honor me. Do it just for me, says the Lord. Honor me. You've had great ambitions for yourselves, but nothing has come of it. The little you have brought to my temple, I've blown away. There was nothing to it. I'm going to read that again. The little you have brought to my temple, I've blown away. There was nothing to it. And why? This is a message from the God of angel armies, remember. Because while you've run around caught up with taking care of your own houses, my home is in ruins, that's why. Because of your stinginess. And so I've given you a dry summer and a meager crop. I've matched your tight-fisted stinginess by decreeing a season of drought, drying up fields and hills, withering gardens and orchards, stunting vegetables and fruit. Nothing. Not man or woman, not animal or crop is going to thrive, says the Lord. So this is the first message, right? Consider your ways. So what was going on? The people, they were beautifying their own homes. They were caught up with taking care of their own houses. Right? They were preoccupied with their own pursuits. They had misplaced priorities, right? And they had neglected the temple. And it really hit me. My home, says the Lord.
Yeah.
Okay, now remember what I said at the beginning. Okay? We're not talking about building a building. Okay? And the temple was in ruins. So God says a couple times there, he says, take a good hard look at your life, think it over. In the New King James Version, it says, consider your ways. The Lord says, consider your ways. So the other thing that was going on was the people were using things like their poverty and food shortage and inflation, as excuses to not finish the temple. Okay, but actually, those things, the poverty, the food shortage, the inflation, they were actually judgments from the Lord for failing to build the temple. And so, you know, I just want to pray, like, I pray this, and I ask you pray this, for the Church of Jesus Christ. Pray that our eyes will be open, that we can see what's really going on. Pray and ask the Lord for increased discernment between what are troubles as a result of being in this world still, okay, and what are judgments as a result of not listening and obeying the Lord. Okay, we need discernment. So please pray for the Church of Jesus Christ. Pray for yourselves as well. Pray for one another. And the other point that God makes in there at the end of those verses that I read is that nature itself reflects divine judgment when God's will is ignored.
Right.
Okay, I'm sorry. I can't help but just think it's been a really dry summer. I don't know. What do you think? So there's a message for us, right? So, you know, it's just similarly to what God is saying to the people, to what's happened to the people in Jerusalem, the Jewish people. They become disinterested. When we, God's people, the church, okay, when we fail to invest our time and our gifts, you know, and even our finances, when we fail to invest those things properly in an effort to have enough time and enough money for ourselves, for our efforts, okay, then our efforts are in vain because we deny ourselves the blessing of God. That's what that is saying. Now, God is not saying, you know, denying that we have houses to live in. Okay, that's not what he's saying. All right. But what he's asking us as the church is that we prioritize the building of his house. Okay, and if we prioritize the building of his house, okay, if we prioritize to do our part in the body of Christ, in the Church of Jesus Christ, he promises, right, that what he will do, we can trust him to build ours, our own stuff, okay? So, you know, just very quickly, in the message again, I just want to make a point, verse 8. God says, then God said, here's what I want you to do. Climb into the hills and cut some timber. Bring it down and rebuild the temple. Do it just for me. Honor me, says the Lord. And my sense was what the Lord is saying to us is, consider what you do. And he's giving us direction. Build my house, says the Lord. Build my house, says the Lord. Not our own houses, his house. Okay. Now, I want to read verse 12. Okay, chapter 1, verse 12. And listen to this. Then the governor, Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, and the high priest Joshua, son of Jozadak, and all the people with them listened, really listened to the voice of their God. When God sent the prophet Haggai to them, they paid attention to him. In listening to Haggai, they honored God. So I really want to encourage you, like, listen to what God is saying. Listen to what God is saying today. Really listen. Okay? Because like I said, this is a message, maybe it doesn't seem so far, but it is a message of encouragement and hope. So if you look now at verses 13 and 14, okay, so now they've listened to the Lord. Okay? And you know, I think they decided to obey the Lord. Okay? And This is really incredible, because in verses 13 and 14, I'm just going to read it. It's, then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, spoke the Lord's message to the people, saying, I am with you, says the Lord. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel and Joshua, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. Okay? So what just happened there? It was the message of the prophet. Okay? And remember, the prophet speaks the word of the Lord. So it's a message of the Lord. And then the direct activity of God, stirring up the hearts of the people, stirring up the hearts of the governor, stirring up the hearts of the priests, stirring up the hearts of the people. Okay? And he stirs up their hearts with his spirit, and he gives them a renewed desire to do his will. And that's, I pray that, right? God, stir up our hearts. Stir up the hearts of your people to have a renewed desire, a renewed passion, right? It will break off disinterest. It will break off disinterest, right? It will, you know, he's the one who stirs us up, right? It helps, it will help us to overcome any disinterest. If you have any disinterest and we have any disinterest, it will go in Jesus' name. Because the result of this is what happens is the builders begin to work again with renewed energy, right? Yeah. And I want you to pray this. I want you to pray this for yourself, pray this over your family, pray this over the church, right? This is, it's God who does it, right? His word and his action to stir up the people. And I just think this is awesome, because, you know, it's like you think about what's the Great Commission. What's the Great Commission in Matthew 28, where Jesus said, you know, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. And then what does he say, which is so awesome? I will be with you. Right? That's the Great Commission. That's the commission given to the church. Okay? Then you think about, what is the vision of Freedom House? What did God put on our hearts as a local body, a local church, to do? Okay, maybe. Advancing the kingdom of God by releasing spirit-filled followers to serve Jesus in freedom and joy. Okay, that is the vision that God gave to Freedom House. Advancing the kingdom of God by releasing spirit-filled followers of Jesus to serve him in freedom and joy. Okay, like, isn't that awesome? So, you know, remember those things and ask the God to stir us up and renew our energy to go and do these things that God has given us to do. And I'm not saying that we're not, okay? But if there is anyone who you know, I mean, Holy Spirit's in you, it's conviction, not condemnation. If you become disinterested, okay, then this is encouraging, because God is saying, you know, I want to change that. I want to stir up your heart. Okay, I want to tell you that I'm with you and I've given you things to do for me, right? Because, you know, look at the greater picture of what's going on. God is like preparing a place for him to come and dwell forever. Like, okay, that's just exciting to me.
The MLT says sparked the enthusiasm.
There.
Sparked in Strong's is to arouse, to waken, to stir up, excite, raise up, to incite,
yeah,
to arouse, to action.
Okay, isn't that awesome?
To open one's eyes.
Yeah.
All those things.
Yeah. See, it's good to look at what the words really mean, because it gives a fuller understanding of what God is saying, right? Okay, so now, this is very encouraging. There's a second message now coming, starting in chapter 2. So I'm just going to read verses 1 to 5. In the seventh month, on the 21st of the month, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, now speak to Zerubbabel, and to Joshua, and to the remnant of the people, saying, who is left among you? Who saw this temple in its former glory? And how do you see it now? In comparison with it, is this not in your eyes as nothing? Yet now be strong, Zerubbabel, says the Lord, and be strong, Joshua, says the Lord, and be strong, all you people of the land, says the Lord, and work, Be strong and work, for I am with you, says the Lord of hosts. According to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. Do not fear. Okay, I just say this has got to break off any discouragement, which is the second problem. The second problem is discouragement, right? So this, yeah, there's so much in here for us, right? And if you receive this or receive this word, discouragement will break off of you, and I just break it off now in Jesus' name. Okay. So now this is another message for us. You see, here in Haggai's time, some of the older people among the returned exiles, they had actually seen Solomon's temple, which is the first temple. All right? Okay, when they were children, they saw that temple. Okay, and to them, it was like, so there was no building, okay, however beautiful, that could compare to the glory of the former temple, right? And it really hit me in those verses, you know, the Lord says, is this not in your eyes as nothing? Okay, there's something in there. So, you know, and one of the things that happened was the discouragement of the older people had quickly influenced the younger ones, okay, until it was actually less than a month after they started to rebuild the temple that the work ceased, okay? So, you know, I want to speak for a minute to the older saints, okay? I want to give you a message, all right? You know, how many of us, okay, have sort of looked at the condition of the church now, okay, and compared it to, like, the way things used to be back in the day, right? Okay. Or you know, even if you look at the book of Acts and you say, you know, like, do we, the church, look like this now? Okay. So I really want to encourage the older saints, okay, and I'm going to say to you, I want to encourage you to continue to be an encourager, okay? I want to encourage you to continue to persevere and don't give up, okay? I want to encourage you to disciple the younger saints, okay? And, you know, I'm not going to read it just because of time, but if you go back to Ezra, and if you can write this down, chapter 3, 12 and 13, there's a piece there where God is actually speaking to the leaders and the heads of households, okay? And there's a group who actually is, they're weeping, they're crying, okay? Because they're looking at this new like the rebuilding of the second temple, and they're comparing it to the first temple, and it doesn't look, you know, at all like this at all like it, right? And they're crying, right? And then there's another group, and they're shouting for joy. And this is the message the Lord put on my heart to say. And this is especially for the older saints. Okay, your attitude, our attitude, affects other people.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. So, you know, we can be a huge, like, influence to the Church of Jesus Christ, especially the young ones, your children, okay, younger saints. I love discipling Kayla. I gotta say, really, you know, it's exciting. You stay, like, encouraged when you do that. And, you know, there's just some questions, like, ask yourself, is God still on the throne? Is he still at work in his church? Will his ultimate plan be fulfilled? Will he have victory? Is the enemy ultimately defeated? Will his kingdom be established forever? Yes, 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 yes. Right? So before we go on, Ruth, can you come? Because Ruth has a quick testimony about this, okay, about being a saint. Being someone who is an influence, right? Not being discouraged, being an influencer, right? And an encourager. And this testimony also speaks to how when we're not, okay, when we're not, when we get discouraged and we're not able to identify it, and we don't like do these things to put it off, okay, and we get disinterested and discouraged, it influences the next generation.
I actually wrote it down so that it could be more concise. I wanted to, there's a lot of details, so I want to leave those details out, but give you the story. So, this goes back 45 years. I had some, I had very close friends. We grew up together. We did everything together. We shared way too much with each other. But we were all church friends. We were all believers. But you know what? Satan was at work. So, after 20 years of living life together, so I've shared with them a long time, I moved away. One of my friends got married. She had four children. And one fell in love with a pastor who was already married. So, bad choices between two of my friends had made them, they actually affected so many people, including these four kids, her husband, the whole church, the pastor, his family. A lot of people were influenced because of choices. And so you've heard me say that many times. Choices are way too important. So I just wanted to set that ground rule of what it's a real story in my life. But I want to jump 25 years later. So here I am now this week, and the father of these four children died. So I'm sitting in the funeral, and I'm thinking about all these things, right? Do you do that? Do you sit down and what does it take note of your life? Mm-hmm. Okay, that was my week this week as I sat. So I think about all that this man, who was my friend, went through because of the choices of his wife, my friend. It must have been a very difficult time for him. Mm-hmm. Now, in that time frame, when all kinds of things happened, there were too many sexual spirits going around. And I just want to say that much. And so I felt that I couldn't be around that. It was a bad influence on me, and I couldn't be there. And now I look back and I think these poor kids, they had no choice, right? So for me, I had to stay away, but I wish I didn't have to. Because someone needed to help these four kids. And there were more kids, but those four specifically. But as I was at the funeral, one of these four kids, she's now 35. She's married. She has her own daughter. And she's the only one in the family who's still following the Lord. She continued in the church, given all the problems, all the hurt. And I asked myself, why? What did she do different than everyone else in this scenario? Well, than a lot in the scenario, because there were more that did make good choices. But one, the first thing is she made a choice. And she made a choice to forgive her mother. Mm-hmm. And she made a choice to forgive the pastor. Mm-hmm. And she made a choice to forgive my other friend. Right? She was 13. She was your age. She was 13. So don't take lightly what happens to you now and the choices you make. She did turn to Jesus for help in the times of troubled. I said, actually, in these times of troubled waters. And he actually calmed the storm in her life. It doesn't mean that it was easy to do this. And we all know how hard it is to walk through hurts. But I just looked at her and I thought, man, the only reason that she actually got through it is because of Jesus. And the only reason she is where she is today is because of Jesus. And I'll add one more thing in that my other, the pastor's daughter, also made the same choice. And so I was so proud of it. And I had to take stock. If it were me, would I have chose those things? I chose to stay away and make other choice, better choices, not even to get involved in the situation. But when you're in those situations, what do you do then, right? How do you make the right choices to say, I'm going to choose God? And a sad story, but I know we all have many things that we've had to deal with, hurts in our own lives as time goes on. So when I look back and I thought, wow, 45 years ago. And then 35 years ago, and I thought, wow. You know, as you look back, as Wendy said about the saints, as you look back, 5 years, 2 years might seem like a long time. 35 years, you start to see more of the picture. Praise the Lord that we can rectify those wrongs. So my one friend is serving the Lord. The other one is not. She's serving herself. And I just was sad. They got divorced, and so when this fellow died, I just thought, wow, like all the things that he had to walk through. And he didn't turn to the Lord. And she didn't turn to the Lord, but her daughter did. Mm-hmm. It is possible. It's a bigger picture mm-hmm. than we're seeing, right?
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, such a testimony of how important choices are and attitude is, right? And that our attitudes and choices and things that we choose to do, that they do influence
right.
other people, right?
Yeah, in good and bad ways.
Yes, and the choice to turn to Jesus and the choice to follow Jesus, what that leads to, right? Okay, so here we have like a group of people, they're discouraged because they're comparing, they're looking back at the way that the initial temple was, and they're looking at the new one, and so they're discouraged, and now this is what the Lord says. So now I'm just going to repeat to read verses 4 and 5 in chapter 2. Yet now be strong. And be strong. He says it again. And be strong. So he's talking to Zerubbabel and Joshua and the people. But he said three times to be strong, says the Lord, and work. For I am with you, says the Lord of hosts. According to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. So these are the things that if you can remember these things, these things will help you overcome discouragement. So I want you, if you're not going to do it now, I want you when you go home, I want you to open up your Bible. I want you to turn to Haggai. I want you to go to chapter 2. I want you to go to verses 4 and 5. And I want to underline in your Bible. Okay? All these words that the Lord's saying. To be strong and work, that he's with us, that his spirit remains among us. And that we don't need to fear. Underline them. Okay, believe them and receive them, because that will help you overcome any discouragement that has come upon you. Okay? And there's a lot of discouragement right now that's come upon the Church of Jesus Christ. Okay, and this is how you break that. Okay? Receive a word from the Lord. Overcome discouragement. Remember that the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead is in us. Remember that the same Spirit of God who launched the Church of Jesus Christ is still in us, not only with us, in us. And that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Okay. Haggai chapter 2, verses 6 to 9. Okay. I'm not going to read all of it. What I want to read actually is part of verse 7. Because the Lord says, I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord. And verse 9, the glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place, I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts. Okay? All right. So now, Haggai is speaking prophetically. Okay, now this is actually for us, right? You know, it really, for the people in Haggai's day, he is speaking about when the second temple is getting rebuilt. He's speaking prophetically about the physical second temple and how Jesus is actually going to stand in that temple. Jesus is going to be in that temple. And I just think, the glory of God. So he's talking about the actual physical temple that's going to be standing at the time of Jesus, but he's also prophesying about God's indwelling of human temples, us, the Church of Jesus Christ, through Christ. He's talking about the church. He's talking about us individually and corporately as the Church of Jesus Christ. Okay, and not only that, he's prophesying beyond us. Okay, so this is very important. This is very important for us. So he's in there. He talks about the culmination of the day of the Lord and God's final dealing with evil. He, you know, this is going to be an event that's going to be identifiable and certain. And he talks about the shaking in which he refers to in Hebrews 12, 26 to 28. And he says that God's kingdom is identified as the one thing that's cannot be shaken. Okay? He's establishing an everlasting kingdom. So basically, he's prophesying what I read at the beginning, Revelation 21:3. Okay? But God is building for himself a temple, okay, a dwelling where he is going to dwell. He's talking about the Church of Jesus Christ, where he's going to dwell with us forever. Okay? So this is what we need to remember. If you find yourself becoming discouraged, we need to think beyond today.
Right.
We need to think beyond ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. We need to remember that God is God, and what he's doing in us and what he's doing through us, what he wants to do. Okay? Building a house for the day when God is going to dwell amongst us forever, right? And what is he doing now until then? Okay, he's preparing his bride, right? And it says in Revelation 19, it says the bride is prepared herself. Okay, so we all have a part in this, right? And God is for us, and he's with us, and he gives us all, he says not to fear, and his spirit's still with us, and so we have to remember all of this. So now, I'm not going to read the verses, but if you follow along and you go, we're looking now verses 11 to 14, what happens is God, the people get to a point where, so they've started the work, but they become dissatisfied. Okay? They're expecting that, okay, we started the work now, okay, and they're expecting an immediate reversal. Of all their years, 12 years, they did nothing, okay? And they're expecting reversal immediately, so they're kind of dissatisfied with the work. And so what happens is God comes along, and through the prophet Haggai, again, like he encourages the people, and he reminds them in those verses that holiness is not transferable. Yeah. He actually does it by asking a question, okay? So, you know, he's basically saying that you know, even though, you know, you started working on the temple again, you know, you still lack reformed lives. And for us, you know, the message for us is about holiness, right? Sanctification, holiness. We are holy in Christ, okay? And being made holy at the same time, that's what the word says, okay? And the sanctification, the holiness that God, Holy Spirit, is working in us, okay, that is a journey, that is a process, and it says in Philippians 1:6 that it's God's work, he started the work, it's his work, and he is going to complete it, he promises, when? Until the coming, he's going to do it until the coming of the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're not going to be fully holy until Jesus comes back. So that's got to be encouraging. So, you know, if you're sitting here thinking, you know, me or the church or, oh, you know, we're kind of here and there and not there, and, you know, and then think of this. Okay? And remember that holiness, sanctification, is the work of the Holy Spirit, first of all. Okay? And it's an ongoing process. So now, just going on, and we're getting like towards the end here, there's a third message. What God does is he reminds the people. Okay, he sort of causes them to look back and go, so look at all the things that you were doing and, you know, putting the judgment on them. He sort of reminds them of all of that. And then he gives this amazing, I still don't get it actually, but he gives this amazing proclamation. And he says, but from this day, I will bless you. But from this day, I will bless you. Okay, and you know, these are messages for us. But from this day, the Lord says, I will bless you. Okay? I am with you. I will bless you. Right? So, you know, really in this, what God is saying is, he's saying this to us. He's saying, make the work that God has called us, make it a priority in your life. Okay, if you're realizing that, you know, your priorities are off a little bit, okay, you know, just ask God to help you to realign the priorities, right? And make him and what he's called you to do, okay, called us to do, a priority in your life, right? Because, you know, every generation faces this. Okay, so we're talking way back in Haggai's time. They face this problem. Yes. Are we facing this problem? Yes, but the Lord is encouraging us, okay, that we can overcome this. If we have this problem, we can overcome it with the Lord, and he's with us, right? And what we need to do is we need to put our trust in God. We need to reprioritize, make him, okay, and his things, the main things and the priorities, and trust him to take care of everything else, right? And when we do that, God's saying to us that he is going to bless us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you read at the very end and you read the last few verses of chapter 2, then God gives a message actually specifically to Zerubbabel, okay? He speaks to him, okay? But everything that God is saying to Zerubbabel, he is actually saying to us. Everything that he is saying to him is fulfilled in Christ, who is head of the church, the body of Christ. Okay, and some of the things, and I think there's some of you here, you really need to receive this. Because this is a word from the Lord for us as a church, okay, and for the individuals in the church, okay? And he says, you are chosen. Mm-hmm. Now, those of you who've been reading the devotionals, right, that's been over and over, okay? You are chosen. Okay? He says you are of special value. Okay? And he has given us, Jesus has transferred to his church power and authority and honor, right? He's delegated, he uses for Zerubbabel, like a symbol, the signet ring. Okay, but really what that is that it's just, I was thinking about when the king gave Haman the signet ring in Esther, he was transferring. It was a sign of delegating full royal authority, okay? And Jesus has given us, his church, power and authority, right? And he also says to him, he says, it's not in our own strength, but by my spirit. Okay? Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Okay, Zechariah says that to the people. Remember, he's doing the same thing, stirring up the people. So the Lord really wants us to be reminded, okay, that it's by His Spirit, not in our own strength. Okay, and that every obstacle will be removed, and that the Lord will complete what He has started. He will have a holy bride. Okay. So there's just a few of the things from the book that God put on my heart. And just before we finish, I want to pray for you. Okay. So Lord, we want to thank You for the Church of Jesus Christ. Lord, we want to thank You for Your word, and we want to thank You for these messages that You have given us today. We thank You, Lord, for speaking to us and reminding us that You are with us, reminding us that we don't need to be afraid. And You have reminded us what You have called us to do, and that Your Spirit is in us and with us, giving us the power and authority to accomplish everything that You have put on our hearts. We want to thank You, Lord, that You have decreed over Your church, "I will bless You." And I pray, Lord, for the Church of Jesus Christ. I pray for each person here, Lord, that when we need it, that Holy Spirit, You would remind us of these words that You have spoken to us. And Lord, there's even things now that You have put on our hearts. You have given a commission to the Church of Jesus Christ. You have given a vision to Freedom House Church and Healing Center. And Lord, even individually, You have put things on each person's heart. And I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that You would come and You would stir us up, that You would stir up our hearts, that You would just reignite, Lord, the passion in our hearts, and that You would come and that You would just break off all discouragement, that You would cause us to lay down any dissatisfaction and any disinterest, and that You would come and stir us up and renew our strength and renew in our spirit just a renewed passion and desire to just continue to accomplish those things that You have called us to do as the Church of Jesus Christ. Thank You, Lord, that You've given us a bigger picture, Lord, that there is going to be a day when Your holy church, Your holy bride, is prepared for Your presence to come and live and dwell amongst us forever. Lord, would this bring a joy and encouragement to us, the church, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.